We are looking at the book of Galatians and have been working at through the book of Galatians for the last 2 weeks. This is the third week now. We're moving on to Galatians chapter 3 today. If you've missed the first two, you can catch those on our website if you want to get caught up. But really what we've been talking about for the first 2 weeks, and we'll continue talking about today, because that's what Paul is talking about throughout the first three chapters of this particular book, is the subject of grace and God's grace. And as we look at this subject of grace, I think grace in its ultimate form that we see from God is the fact that God has given us heaven when we deserve hell. It's saving grace. It's salvation. And that's grace in kind of its ultimate form. But grace is more than just that as well. It's God desiring and working to be a part of our life day in and day out, even though we don't listen to Him oftentimes, and sometimes we choose not to follow Him and where He's leading us and directing us. But He offers us grace even in those moments. I hope that this morning that we're able to, as we look at this idea of grace a little bit more, understand that the grace doesn't stop with the gift of salvation to us. But that God offers us grace well beyond the moment of salvation. And that's really what I believe that chapter 3 is talking about, that we're going to look at today. Today we're going to see how the gospel of grace, it continues to work in our life after salvation. So I want you to go ahead and turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's page 824. And if you're using your own Bible, Galatians chapter 3 is where we're going to. Now, there's a lot of letters that are written throughout the Gospels, and one of my favorite beginnings to a letter, perhaps, is the first few words of this one, where Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Look at that strong, powerful start to a letter, right? Not too many of us would enjoy getting that letter, and probably not too many of us would even want to write those words to somebody else. But Paul at this point, I think, is quite frustrated in what's going on in this Galatia church. And he has spent this time teaching them about salvation through grace, through what Jesus Christ does, not through what we do in ourselves. And then some other people come in, as we've already talked about, and they kind of mess up that whole message. And some of the Galatians are buying into it. So Paul starts off so strong in this chapter. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you?" In the beginning of this chapter, I think Paul is just kind of dumbfounded at what's going on. He begins by calling them out on it. Now, when he's calling them foolish, I don't think that he's saying that they lack intelligence. I think what he's saying is that they're not using the intelligence that they have. They're not thinking as they ought to be thinking, as they're capable of thinking. Paul asks, "Who's bewitched you? Who's charmed you, captivated you? Who's been a part of your life that has changed your thinking on this? And now you're believing this nonsense. Who has put you under a spell that you're not thinking the way that you should?" It's a powerful start to a letter, these first six or seven words. And then in the next verses, in the next verse and a half, really, Paul goes on and he says, "Before your eyes, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ clearly portrayed as crucified." I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Paul is basically recapping what he's been talking about the whole first two chapters, is that salvation is by grace. It's what Paul's focus has been on through this beginning of this book, and it's through so many of his other writings throughout the New Testament. Focuses on this idea of salvation through the grace of God. In these verses, these first three verses that we've looked at here this morning, Paul is saying you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. By faith, you accept that Jesus died on the cross. By faith, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's what these verses tell us. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? You receive the Spirit by believing what you heard. Paul's saying, you know that your salvation was totally an act of God. You trusted in the work of Jesus by faith, and by the grace of God, He has given you eternal life and gave you His Spirit to dwell within you. And then he goes on and he says, it was not by anything that you did to earn it. It was because you believed by faith. So kind of after recapping the salvation experience of many of these Galatians, he goes on to tell them that not only are you saved by grace, but through faith, we grow in our faith as well. We grow by grace through faith. We're going to continue on, look at verses 3 through 5. Starting verse 3, it says, "Are you so foolish?" Again, pretty strong wording. "Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" Again, he's saying, okay, you accepted Christ as your Savior because the Spirit drew you to Him and you believed in faith. Now are you trying to grow in your own efforts? Do you think that you can be sanctified if you really try hard to do good things? To live a good life? Do you think that if you do all the right things that God is going to bless you as a result of that? This is kind of the context of thinking that Paul is presenting. You know what all the good things that are done in our own strength look like to God? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "Our righteous acts," so our efforts of righteousness, our efforts of growing in our faith, becoming more Christ-like, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags, is what it says. Now maybe you're sitting here thinking, filthy rags? Seriously? I work my hardest. I give my best to God and to the kingdom, and He sees it as filthy rags? What's the point, right? Might as well just give up and move on. And that's exactly the point that Paul is making here. Trying in our own strength to be obedient to the law or some rules will never be good enough. That's why not only our salvation, but our growth as well has to be by God's grace. You couldn't save yourself in your own power. Nor could I. It's only by God's grace that we have been saved. And we can't grow ourselves in our own power either. It's only by God's grace that we can grow. But by God's grace, He can empower. He can empower you to accomplish things beyond what you can ever possibly dream of. By God's grace, you can be used in incredible ways to bring hope to the people that you know, to the community that you live in, to the family that you're a part of. By God's grace, He would love to use you in those ways. They talked a couple different times this morning about yesterday, and I want to say Cindy Smith and her team, the Congregational Life team, you guys did an amazing job yesterday. In your human efforts, you guys put together all the details that needed to be put together. You guys made sure that people were greeted and welcomed the second they walked in that door. You made sure that they had everything that they needed for the simulcast thing to work and all that. But by God's grace, at the end of the day, I happened to be upstairs in the audio booth. By God's grace, these ladies were down here worshiping God at the end of the day. By God's grace, I can tell you that so many of these women grew in their faith yesterday. Nothing we could have done to make that happen. We can be used to help set the environment for that. But it's by God's grace. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he writes about these awesome things that we can accomplish for God and how they can be accomplished in a sense. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4 through 6, this is what he says. He says, "My brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to Him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God." We might bear fruit to God. "For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." The difference between filthy rags and fruitfulness. Filthy rags that are produced by our own strength. Fruitfulness is produced by God's strength. Fruit is produced when we're serving in a new way. When we're serving with the power of God. So I want us to look at some components of growth that is going to occur in our lives as we live by faith in God's grace. So the second thing we're looking at this morning is this. By grace through faith, we receive blessings. By grace through faith, we receive blessings. And this is chapter 3, verses 6 through 14, if you're taking notes. So starting in verse 6, it says, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And then it goes on in verse 10. "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is anyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith." Paul is so strong on this separation of law and faith. Goes on in verse 12. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Through faith, we receive not only the blessing of salvation, but we also receive His Spirit, this passage tells us, which we gain, I would say, countless other blessings that God bestows on His people in His kindness and graciousness and generosity. According to Scripture, and if you're taking notes, I'll give you references. You can look them up later. According to Scripture, we get spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. We get guidance from the Spirit. John 16, verse 13. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says that we receive power from the Spirit. In Romans 14, verse 17, we receive peace and joy through the Spirit. John 1, 16 and 17, the Lord pours out blessings on us by His grace. As we live in and continue in His grace, we desire to glorify Him in obedience. Blessings increase not because of our obedience, but because we continue in grace. It's when we begin to rely on works that we no longer continue in grace and we miss the blessings that result from God's grace. We must continue in grace. And then we receive these wonderful blessings from the Lord. We grow also by realizing that by grace through faith, we are freed from the law. And this is one that we've really touched on the first week, second week, and now the third week. Paul keeps going back to this freedom that we experience from the law when we go into this covenant, this relationship with Jesus Christ because of what He did for us. By grace through faith, we're freed from the law, Paul tells us. Starting in verse 15, he says, brothers, let me make an example for everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The Scripture does not say "and to seeds," meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it is no longer dependent on the promise. But God in His grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. And then if we go down to verse 19, continue on there, it says, what then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. And then if we go down to verse 23, continues on, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed, so the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. There's this separation. There's this freedom Paul talks about from the law. When it comes to intentionally growing in our faith. Do you ever find that you have moments where you say something like, you know what, I've got to do this. I've got to start living my life for Christ. I've got to make some changes in my life. I've got to start reading Scripture on a more regular basis. I've got to start being a better spouse, a more godly spouse. I've got to further my education so that I can serve God in a stronger, better way. In our own power and our strength, we go on for a while doing these things. We have the best of intentions when we start doing them, but all of a sudden, so often we hit this wall when we're trying to do it in our own strength. And we get burned out, we get fed up. Some circumstances come into our life and we just give up on it. And this isn't an uncommon thing because we're relying on ourselves to do it. It's the kind of that mentality that so often I think many of us have is, I can do this, I can handle this, I'll take care of it myself. And I think that sometimes we don't realize it. But that mentality so often comes because of an inward pride that we have. I can do it. I'll take care of it. I'll handle it myself. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 says this. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. And then get this, verse 13. But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your own many warriors. We too often reap the fruit of deception. We're deceived into law and rule following instead of Christ following. We begin well enough, but then we fall back into working at keeping the law in our own strength, just like the Galatians were doing. And Paul was continually going back and trying to encourage a different way. We must be careful not to set ourselves up to fail. Instead, we have to claim victory through the grace of Christ. We must choose to stay focused on Christ in all that we do and not on the law. We will live lives that are honoring lives to Christ when we remain focused on Him. Finally, we continue to grow as we realize that it is by grace through faith that we gain righteousness in our lives. And this really comes from the last couple of verses that we're going to look at this morning, starting verse 21. It says, is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Christ Jesus, might be given to those who believe. Righteousness, growing in our faith, growing closer to living a life how Christ lives His life, is not going to come by keeping rules, by following the law. In our humanness, we aren't going to be obedient enough to ever be declared righteous, holy. If it's only on our own power of following the rules and following the laws. When we receive Jesus as Savior, we declare
righteousness in terms of salvation in that moment. That's the beginning. But we need to continue on in righteousness. That is by grace. Not for salvation, because that's already taken care of. But for living an abundant life. In Romans, Paul tells us, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, he says, For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. To continue on in righteousness. To continue on in growing wherever you're at in your walk with Jesus Christ. To try to just become a little bit more righteous, a little bit more Christ-like in our behaviors, in our actions, in our responses. To continue on in righteousness means to continue on in grace. As we do that, we gain righteousness. As we gain this righteousness, our actions and our words change and honor Christ more and more. Our actions aren't out of obligation all of a sudden. But we do them out of love. A love for Christ. A love for our Lord. A love for our God. A love for our Savior. When we are in love with somebody, isn't it true that so often we find it enjoyable to do things together with them? Is that right? I'm guessing most of us in here have been in love at some point in time or have love for somebody, and as a result of that, we find it enjoyable to do things with them. Things, I think, sometimes that we normally wouldn't even ever consider doing on our own if it wasn't for that other person. Right? I can think back about a year and a half ago when my wife came to me and told me that she wanted to start raising bees. I mean, spending money on buying 20,000 bees from our backyard, we were normally trying to kill bees, right? Now, a year and a half later, we have like 150,000 bees in our backyard. And it's not because of my love for bees. It really isn't. But when we love somebody, we find it enjoyable to do things with them. It's the same way with God. When we are living in grace, and we're realizing how much God truly loves us, we find ourselves desiring to do things that will glorify Him. Things that matter to Him. There are still going to be choices that have to be made. But when we're walking in His grace, we're doing things in His power as a result of His grace rather than in our own power as a result of a certain rule that we think that we should follow. In essence, I think what Paul is saying in chapter 3 is don't become a slave again. Don't fall back to becoming a slave again. Don't fall back to just living by the rules. You're in so much more now. You're in this relationship now. Live according to the relationship, not according to the rules. And the rules will just take care of themselves. When you're living according to the relationship. The law is there to show us our sinfulness and to lead us to Christ. But once we've come to Christ, we do not ever need to go back to law keeping and rule following, because we are constantly working to grow in our relationship and strengthen our relationship with Christ, which is going to result in us doing just that. We become Christ followers to strive to continue on in His grace. And as we continue on in His grace, we receive His blessings, We become free from the law. And we gain a righteousness, a chance to experience incredibly changed life, just like Paul did. And it all comes as a result of His grace to us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for the grace that You offer to each one of us. We thank You, Lord God, that as a result of experiencing Your grace, of living in a relationship of grace with You, we thank You that You choose to bless us beyond anything that we should, beyond anything that we ever deserve. We thank You that You give us freedom from the law, so we're not tied down to these rules and trying to do this on our own, but instead we're focused on a relationship with You. And through Your Holy Spirit, we're given power to try to make changes in our life, to live according to how You desire for us to live. And that as we do that, Lord God, we thank You for the gains that we can make in our life, in growing to live it abundantly, how You would desire for us to live it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.